A thrill. Brother Don was just talking about the devil's a liar. Well, that's the title of this little short message, The Devil's a Liar. I've actually changed the title three or four times when it came down to that one. I remember that revelation when it first hit me several years ago. We were over in the old chapel, and I couldn't stop saying the devil's a liar. Now, you know, every now and again, you go through different stages in your Christian life. The revelation that the devil's a liar is a marvelous revelation to have. Now, every one of you know he's a liar, but very few live like he's a liar. Most of us live like he's got a lot of truth, but he doesn't. The devil is a liar. I'd like to build this thing for just a moment. What was Satan's first job? What was his purpose in the creation? What did he start out to be? In Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'm going to skip a few verses from reading them tonight in the interest of time. I felt like the testimonies were good, and I wanted some of them, so it won't be a real long message tonight. I want us to get this revelation. I have several reasonings, some logic to give, and I think it'll be good. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14, God says about Satan, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Now, this is probably referring to a position not only of pomp, authority, and sitting on his marble throne and being served, but this is a picture of Satan's position as far as ministry. Now, all of the angels, Gabriel, Michael, all of them, no matter how high their position, like Michael the archangel, his position is a position for ministry. You find this throughout the world. All positions are positions for ministry. A president, a king, whoever it is, that position is a position to minister and to give out for others. Satan was the anointed cherub that covers. He had a high position. He was the chief of the ways of God in the creation. There's no doubt that Satan was probably given a position of authority over all mankind and that he was the one to protect them and cover them. He was the one given the job to preserve mankind. Now we see from Isaiah 14 and later down here also in Ezekiel that he didn't like that and he wanted to make his place above the stars of God and above the clouds of God. And in other words, he did not want to have to cover man and have to serve man. He wanted above man. He didn't want to come down and minister to man. You notice that the Lord Jesus Christ became a servant. He became a servant. He gave his life. But Satan did not want to serve. Now it says in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to them about to receive salvation. That's us. We are about to receive salvation. Angels are sent to minister to us. Now Satan, as the chief of the angelic beings, undoubtedly had a high position in ministering to mankind. And we see in Proverbs chapter 8, it says there that wisdom rejoiced chiefly in the sons of men because mankind was the greatest of the creations of God. That's us. And so Satan was given a position above all the rest to watch over us and to keep us and to protect us. And he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire and he was among the sons of God, but he wanted above us and therefore he was unwilling to serve. And so he left his first estate, as it says in Jude 6. All right? God, do you know how he picks a will for us, no matter where we are, no matter what decision we're at? He has a will for our life. Well, he had a will for Satan's life. You know, he didn't just obliterate him. He left him around. And you know, whenever God does something, it's perfect. All right, he left Satan around. So what did he do then? Since Satan left that place to be the chief one to cover and protect mankind, he cast him into darkness, according to Jude 6. He cast him into darkness, and he put him in a place as the tempter, and that's his name called in the scripture, to tempt mankind. Now, in this place of temptation, he has a will, he has a purpose. And in Isaiah 54:16-17, God says that I created the waster to destroy. And I created the smith and the blow upon the fire and so forth. And he said, therefore, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, what I'm saying is this. Satan left his first position. He was brought down to another place of darkness and made the tempter of mankind. And under that position, now he is a servant of mankind. He wouldn't serve us before to protect us and cover us. Now he is serving us by decree of God in driving us into the arms of God. God created the waster to destroy. And so now the devil has to accomplish the purpose of God, whether he likes it or not. And he brings us unto him. And therefore, he is still under the finger of God. And he can only tempt by permission. You're all familiar with the story of Job. He can only tempt by permission. He can only come by permission. He has to get permission from God first. So he still has a purpose. Now, the interesting thing about it, though, is that he doesn't fulfill his purpose until we get rid of him. He does not fulfill his purpose as a servant of mankind until we get rid of him. As long as he's dwelling in our lives, he hasn't fulfilled his purpose. He's not fulfilling his purpose. His purpose is to serve us. His purpose is to help us, to drive us to God, because God created him, that he would do us good and cause us to depend upon the Lord. You know, the Bible says our trials work for us, and the devil works for us. Now, he is such a defeated foe. He is still under the finger of God. He's still a servant of God. Now, and of course the blow came to him finally when Jesus Christ triumphed over him at the resurrection. And before that time, when any man would die, Satan would chuckle because the blood had not yet been shed, except for two of them that got away, Enoch and Elijah. He would chuckle because all men, he would grab them and bring them down into Sheol. And so the saints of God, they did not want death because that talk took them out of the land of the living. And so Satan could still chuckle at that time, but he lost his chuckle. He no longer has a chuckle. Because when we die, we go into the presence of God. He never gets us one way or another. In fact, Jesus said, when you believe on me, you shall never die. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, he destroyed the power of him. He destroyed him who had the power of death. He destroyed him who had the power of death. And now he even loses his ugly hold on that thing. Now there are many proofs to Satan's absolute defeat. And one of them is the fact of how he fights us. Now, if you come up to somebody that is really a strong foe, and they'll just blunder on to you, and they'll just say, hey, look, I've got the power, and that's it, you're in trouble. I'm just going to overcome you. Or they won't even say anything at all, like some dogs. They say that the ones that don't bark are the ones to watch out for. If they just kind of look at you and glare and lay their ears down, better watch out. If they're barking and all of this, their tails are waving around, and they're trying to, you know, act like some hero, then you don't have to worry about them. They're trying to act like Goliath, you don't have to worry about them. But if they come kind of sulking, and they're kind of, you know, growling a little bit under their breath, and their ears are low, better watch out. That's the one to watch out for. Satan, he has to put his only power that he has. Since he's been defeated, he's a servant of mankind. He's set here by God's purpose for our help. He was defeated and he no longer even has the power of death. And that Jesus Christ now holds the keys of Hades instead of the devil. The only tool he's got left is a lie. A lie. Now that's a pretty poor kingdom. If that's all he's got is a lie, that is pretty poor. If anything shows the defeat of Satan's kingdom, it's the fact that what he's got is a lie, and that's all, a lie. All Satan can do to bring down the child of God is by lies, intimidation, and bluff. One of the evidences of this is the deliverance services. We haven't lost one yet. I mean, there have not been some that have been come in and they set their hearts that they're going to be delivered, that this invisible force just drug them across the carpet, you know, and their fingernail prints, you know, coming across the carpet as they're being drug out and crashed against the wall. Or we haven't had any that as we prayed for, you know, the demon just came all swooping back in after they came out. I mean, there have been battles, there have been some contested, there have been other many that have had to have go through several deliverances, and that's all right. But the interesting thing is the devil's always losing. He's never won yet. If you get here, and you set your heart against it, in fact, you don't even have to get here sometimes, but you get here and you honor what God is doing, he's defeated. I mean, that's how bad off he is. All his kingdom has is a lie. And so he'll lie and do everything he can. I'd like to read out of Psalm 64, starting in verse 1 here quickly. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Notice, fear of the enemy. Didn't say from the enemy. He's defeated. Just preserve me from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Notice insurrection. You know what an insurrection is? He is an anarchist, out of lawful authority. The kingdom is ruled by thy king, God, and he's an insurrectionist. He's coming in as an anarchist. He's not under authority. He has no power behind him. All he can do is try to bluff the people. Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. That's all they've got. Bitter words. Lies. It's their tongue. Deceitful words. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. And that's part of the problem, is that these lies come into your mind like an arrow. You don't see them. Just, and you're, God doesn't love you, you know. You'll never make it. Get out of here, run. Thank God for Brother Don. He said, get out of here, run. And Don says, pray for me. The devil says, get out of here. And he says, pray for me. That's the way to fight the devil. Fight lies with truth. He didn't want to get any out of there. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They communed of laying snares privily, that is secretly, and they say, who shall see them? Well, I'll tell you who sees them. God sees them. And he promises that we'll see them. They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. I mean, they get this thing so confused and all twisted together, but it's all lies. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Now, they got their arrows, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and that finishes it. Suddenly shall they be wounded or destroyed. That means, boom, it happens that fast. And the word of God comes. The devil, I have seen this happen. I'll tell you, it is so thrilling. It is so thrilling. Years and years, somebody has labored under certain demonic problems. You just wonder, how have they made it? Blessed be the name of the Lord that has kept them through all of that. And they come in here, and God, in a moment, shoots at them. And the secret is found out, and the lies are dispelled, and they walk out different. And you talk to them a week later, they're still different. And another week later, and they're still different. And another week, they're still different. I mean, it happened. All those years that the devil was contriving that and weaving it in and out, and pow, just like that. Because all he had was a lie. That's all he had. He didn't have substance. It was only a lie that they believed. But that's all it was. And as soon as they saw the truth, they were free. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, verse 8. And that's exactly what happens. The foolishness of Satan's lies contradicts itself, finally exposed, and we're free. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing, and that's what's happening to us. And then the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. And that's what we're doing. Glory to God. That's what's happening. So Satan lies. That's all he's got is a lie. Now I'd like to look at a few analogies. Before I do that, I think I'm going to take two analogies quickly from the Scripture. Satan lies. He doesn't care what the lie is. It doesn't matter what character it is. He uses all of them. They're all self-contradictory. They're all one big muddle. The crazy thing about it is all these contradicting lies that are throughout the world, all the people that believe them feel one. It's the craziest thing. They believe all kinds of crazy lies, but out there in the flesh and under the power of the devil, they're one unit. And they move together, and they'll move together under the Antichrist. That's how confusing his system is. Satan doesn't matter whether he puffs you up or pushes you down. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 23, we see there that Herod was eaten up of worms. And the reason why is because he was preaching, and the people applauded him and said, this is not the voice of man, this is the voice of God. Now Satan put that into them to tell Herod that, and he believed that lie. He believed that lie. Satan was pushing him, and he finally got him up to the top and gave him one big push, and Herod believed it and took it hook, line, and sinker, and he just got kind of like this. Yeah, I really am like God. I have power of God. I don't have to be a Caesar. The Caesars say they're gods. I must be a god. Maybe I really do have the voice of a god. And God smote him with worms, and he died. Satan didn't care. He just pushed him. He didn't care how he lied to him. Satan turned around and lied to Ahaz in Isaiah 7, verse 10, and following the opposite direction. God came to Ahaz and said, ask a sign through Isaiah. And he said, ask a sign. I mean, this is a great and mighty thing, and I'll give it to you. And Satan came to him and said, no, you're not worthy. That'll never happen. Why can't the Lord? That's tempting God. He forgot that God spoke through Isaiah and said, ask. That's a command. He disobeyed the command because Satan was lying to him. You're not worthy. You're too lowly for that. You can't ask a sign. That's too great for you. He believed the lie. And so he didn't ask a sign. And so what happened? And Isaiah had to rebuke him for that. And he gave him a sign of the virgin bearing a child and so forth anyway. But Ahaz eventually lost his kingdom. He did not stand like he could have. In life, we see this operating an awful lot. Have you ever seen a sidewalk superintendent? Now, they're bad enough. The superintendent has given all the construction workers a job. And they're trying to get their job done. But the guys who walk the sidewalk, they know how they should get their job done. And so they're shouting all these contradictory statements. No, put that board down. Pick that one up over there. Why set that over there? Why don't you put that over here? Why do you dig that hole so deep? You know, why don't you pile the dirt over here? The truck could take it out this way instead of over that way. Why don't you set your machinery over there? Why? See, the sidewalk superintendent, he knows exactly how everything should be done. They even have places on the boardwalk where they have little holes in there for sidewalk superintendent, you know. They can look down there and tell the guy down there what to do, the construction workers. Well, imagine if the sidewalk superintendents were sinister and they had in their minds to destroy that building. And they were calling in from all sides. Now, the guy that's working down in the hole with his pick and shovel, he says, will you just leave me alone? I've been told by the high command. Now, he told me all, for this whole week, he gave me one command. All week long, dig that ditch. That's what he told me to do. And I have now heard 50 other things that these guys want me to do. Now, the guys up on the sidewalk, they don't care what this fella does as long as he doesn't dig the ditch. And so, hey, go get that lumber. We need to get that. This guy over here, he wants this lumber over here. Fella, come on, get that lumber over there. Will you leave me alone? The superintendent told me to dig the ditch. Now, that's a smart construction worker. Now, the unsmart one says, oh, really? You know, and he looks around, and this guy will get him all off, and he'll get him doing all sorts of things. And eventually, they'll stop the building. Well, that's what some of us are like. Because we hear from God just once in a while, you know, at the beginning of the week, dig the ditch. But those sidewalk superintendents are there all the time, and especially if we don't go to our shack and get fresh information every day, it can be kind of a hassle. It can be kind of a problem. And even if you listen to them, even if you don't do what they say, but you listen to them, you're in trouble, right? I mean, you got to get it deep down into your heart and mind that guy's a liar and he's not doing you any good. Do what the superintendent said and forget the sidewalk guy. I play a game with my girls sometimes. It's called Chase. I love that game. I just say, catch me if you can. And I dodge all around, and I finally let them catch me. Every now and again, they catch me. And then, as long as they're touching me, I can't go free. I can't go free, as long as they're touching me. Okay? And so I try to wiggle around, do all kinds of things. One day, I remember especially trying to get free. And so what did I do? Oh, that hurts. Ouch, ouch. Let go. Oh, that hurts. Ow. Oh, down there. Leave go of that. Hey, look at that over there. Look at that bug over there. You know, and one of the girls likes bugs. And, you know, the birds are flying. Hey, your friends are coming down the street. Oh, ow, let go of that. And I could tell which ones I could distract and which ones wouldn't. And I remember especially one of them that she didn't do anything but just look up at my face. And she was holding me like this and just looking up. I'm not letting go, Daddy. I'm not letting go. I lied and I lied and I lied. And she wouldn't let go. She wouldn't let go. Everything I said, she wouldn't let go. Even when I said, ow, ow, she wouldn't let go, you know. Ungrateful kid, you know, wouldn't let go. Here I play with her and she hurts me. See, I told her everything I could think of and she wouldn't let go. Well, you know, that's the way we need to be. The devil says, let go of God, you know. He doesn't care how you let go, why you let go, for what reason you let go. In other words, you should know this. Don't let go regardless. If anything makes you feel like you can't come into the presence of God or come before God or anything like that, it's a lie, lie, lie. Don't listen to them kind of thing. The devil's a liar. That's all he can do. That's all he can do. That's all he has to work. There was a time when I went to a house I may have told this one. I'll just tell it really quick. But I went to a house, and there was a dog there. You know, the devil, because he's a liar and all he's got is lies, you can come against his lies and defeat him that fast. You can come against his lies, just like my daughter defeated me. You can come against him that fast. And there was a black dog that scared me at this house. And I came to this house, knocked on the door. Nobody answered the door. And I heard this woof. And the door was right at the edge of the building. I looked around, and there he was, just looking around, black head. And fear. It must have been 20 demons of him. Grabbed a hold of me. And I'll tell you, I sped for the car. It must have been 50 feet back. You know, I saw him, and I started to run. And he started to run. And I could hear him coming behind me, and he was gaining ground. And I could see clearly that I wasn't going to make it to the car before he made it to me. And what was I going to do when I got to the car, you know? I'd never been able to open the door and get in. Fly and leap over it, I don't know what I was going to do. Here comes this dog, and I knew he was catching me. In a split second, I realized I wasn't going to make it. I had one chance. And that was, I was bigger than he was, and I was going to call his bluff. And I turned on him. And I knew his name. And he'd always been locked up before. I don't know why they did that to me. He'd always been locked up. And I turned on him and I said, "Get out of here," whatever his name was. I can't remember what I said. But I just screamed at him. I'll tell you, I had adrenaline. I had a pint of adrenaline. I screamed that at him. I was shaking. I was scared. I don't know why I got so scared. I got scared. And I pointed at him. I said, "Get out of here." That dog screeched to a halt and turned and ran, yipping with his tail between his legs. Black tail. All the way back. Big dog. I'm not sure who was more surprised at that point. But I learned an invaluable lesson that day. The devil's a liar. The devil is a bluffer. Let's look at another analogy. You ever played the game of poker? Hopefully not. I only did a couple of times. And I hate to bring up the analogy of poker. But just for analogy's sake, I remember playing one time, and I only remember playing a couple of times, but they were showing me how you bet in all of this, you know? And we didn't have money, we were just using stuff. And they'd bet, and you'd have your hands, and I can't remember very well, I'm probably all off on this, but you'd have your hand, you'd deal out your hands, and I can't remember if you traded cards or what you did, but you had your hand, and you'd get cards and everything, and you'd have your hand, and you'd all sit there and smirk at each other. And out come whatever you had, you know? I mean, you wouldn't start out with your pen knife. I mean, your pocket knife. It'd start with something simple, like, you know, your stick slingshot that wasn't any good anyway, you know, and you'd slide that out there, you know. And that was a proof of how good your hand was. At least that's what you tried to get him to think, okay. And you'd shove that out there, and you were hoping he'd just quit. But then he'd shove his out. Oh, you know, I'm not sure what he's got. I've got, you know, not so good, you know, maybe. And so you'd push something else out there. Boy, you were hoping pretty good here that he'd quit. He'd stop pretty soon. You know, and he pushed something out too. Oh, no, you know. But you wouldn't ever show that. You just smirk. And so you put something else out there. And you keep pushing that stuff out. And finally, you know what can happen? You can just be absolutely sure he's got the best hand. Or by watching him, you can be sure you've got the best hand. And you can actually bluff the guy down if you're the best smirker. And what'll happen is finally, he'll be so intimidated and in fear of losing anything else that he says, "Oh, okay, you can have it." And he takes his cards, ducks them, and goes away. And you haven't shown him your deck, your hand. You might have two nines and a five and a four and a six in your hand. You haven't shown him your hand. And you just scrape all that off that table and walk off. And what did you win him with? A bluff. You won him with a bluff. Satan, all he's got is a bluff. If he can intimidate you, if he can make you feel like you're not going to make it, or this isn't going to work for you, or you're the exception. How many of us have heard that lie? I bet you practically all of us, you're the exception. I mean, that one's worn out. I mean, all of his lies are worn out, and he tries them all on all of us. And all he's sitting there is with nothing in his hand, nothing. He's lost the whole thing. They're all jokers, you know, or whatever that could be. And in our hand is Jesus Christ. And I don't even want to parallel him with cards, but we have got the winning card. I'll tell you, we throw that thing down no matter what he has. You know, like Trump and Pinochet or something. I don't know, whatever. It just blows the whole thing apart. Doesn't matter what. Jesus Christ just absolutely blows his hand wild. And it doesn't matter what he puts out on the board. He can intimidate you and intimidate you and intimidate you. You're still a winner because you've got the cards. Because you've got the position. There's another analogy to this. How the devil is nothing but a bluff. That's all he's got is a lie. And if you call his bluff, he's an immediate defeater. Defeated foe. And this is a true story. I was talking to Alan McManus we saw in the summer. And he was sharing with me. He said, I wouldn't believe this except I'd seen it with my own eyes. And he was driving with this fellow up by Kalispell. And this happened, I believe, last year or the year before. And they were driving up by Kalispell, and he was with a friend, and a badger ran across the road. Now, I grew up in Idaho, and we saw badgers, and you kept a safe distance from badgers. Because there's, you know, I mean, there's ferocious things. And he said, stop the car! I think it was a truck. Stop the truck! And so he did. And the guy got out and started running after the badger. And he says, come on, Alan! Running after this badger. Now, I'd have been afraid to do that for fear he'd turn on me and start running after me, you know. And Alan jumped out of the truck and followed him, ran after him. And this guy ran right after this badger, running in, and he went into some woods. And this badger ran into a hole under a tree. A hole under a tree. Now, you know what a cornered animal is like. Especially a badger, huh? This guy got right up to the tree, fell on his knees, and reached his hand in the hole. And he grabbed the thing on the back and drug it out. A badger. The household cat would have nailed you. Let alone a badger. He drug that thing out, and it turned on him. And he said it sounded like the screaming of a child. Or something, you know. And he hit it. And he hit it again. And he hit it again. He hit it about four or five times, he said. Pow! And it was screaming in between these hits. Pow! Scream! Pow! Screaming, you know. And he hit him, and he stopped. And he picked him up on the back of the neck and put him up into his arms. Held him like this and said, come here, Alan. Got a kitty for you. Alan petted a live badger. And he said, they're nothing but bluff. You've never heard of a badger attacking on his own will, have you? But if they can put fear in you, they'll bluff you. They're all bluff. Bye, kitty. He didn't get by with a hit him once. He had to hit him four or five times. But he showed the badger who was boss. Now, I'm not saying we ought to do that with a badger. But I do know one that's got the same nature. And it's the devil. And I have to admit, the devil looks ferocious. Seriously, some people come in here to deliver services. You can tell who they've been seeing as the devil behind the badger's mask. Rawr, you know, all teeth and just snarl. And when they leave, they're rejoicing, realizing he was nothing. He got smacked on the snout and defeated, and his bluff was called. His bluff was called. You know, the big bully, that he feels secure as long as he can bluff you. But you ever get him right down to it and say, this is it, he'll run. You know, he'll run. Because inside he's so insecure that if he can somehow overpower it without having to prove it, he feels safe. But if he's got to come up and put it right up front, he's scared to death. And that's what the devil is. Satan is definitely defeated. He has only a lie. All he's got left is a bluff. Now we tend to be awed by Satan. The Bible says we should be awed by God. The 70 came back from casting out demons and they said, Jesus, as if to say, I can't believe it. This is amazing. Demons, they're subject unto us in your name. I mean, that they didn't talk about the healing. They didn't even mention raising the dead. They talked about casting out devils. I mean, this one really had them going. And Jesus said, as if to say,
in the vernacular,
"Of course. I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. Of course they're subject unto you in my name. Naturally, what do you expect?"
And that's the question. What do we expect? Satan is defeated. This is the proof, my conclusion statement that I want us to remember. If we can learn this next point, this would thrill my heart. This is the proof that if there is anything in your life that is keeping you back and holding you back from what you have seen in God's Word and what you have experienced to be the call of God on your life, it has to go. It is a bluff. It is Satan's last-ditch effort, as it were, to keep you from what God has given you. If God shows you in His Word a position, a calling, a place, that is given by God to you to inspire your faith and to give you hope and to cause you to lay a hold of what He showed you. Otherwise, He wouldn't have shown it to you. And believe me, not everybody gets it. If you have seen in God's Word the call of God upon your life and the position that He has for you, and you have seen a ministry, but it starts out if He can just get you to believe it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You know, sometimes it's difficult to say, "Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can." You know, it's hard to keep responding to that type of thing. You finally have to say, shut up. Pow, you know. And with the sword of the Spirit saying, "I'm not listening to you any longer." And you come to that next most beautiful revelation that I can't trust in my own mind. I can only trust in the Word of God. And if God says it, then that's the way it's going to be, no matter what I feel, no matter what I think, no matter what's going on up in here. In fact, I won't even trust my own commitment. I won't even trust my own dedication. My trust is in God, who has said it, and therefore it must be. That's what kept Abraham. That's what kept Abraham. God said it, and that just settled it. I mean, He said it. I mean, you can't undo what God said. And so he would not be intimidated by all that Satan would bring against him. "No, you can't. No, you'll never have a child." No, believe me, he went through fears. But he said, "But God said," and that finishes the argument. God has set us up to fulfill His will. And He has given us Satan, whether we like it or not, to help us do it. But Satan will not fulfill his job until you've gotten rid of him. And God won't have fulfilled his job until you have let him have his way and his will in your life. We must know that we stand free tonight. You are free. You already are free. If you're hindered from experiencing it, if you're hindered from living it, it's because you're listening to a liar. You're being bothered by the liar. You're running from the badger, you know. Because we are free. One last scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read it. And it will speak for itself. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. I'm going to make one comment on it. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." In other words, God is it, brethren. "And also be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He is the lion that roars, and if he can get you to get fear, he'll be able to devour you. But if you won't fear, you know what that roar is for? Lions roar to put fear in the heart of the animals. And the ones that tremble out of fear are the ones that the lion eats. "Seeking whom he may devour, whom resist with all the gumption and with all the power, and get a hold of some other angels and get it all in your own strength and pull it down out of heaven and get it up from beneath and do whatever else you can to get it." Yes, but no. "Whom resist steadfast, not in your own ability to fight," although God does teach our hands to fight and our fingers to war, "but resist steadfast in the faith, steadfast in the faith. There are some men that walk around in uniforms that have security and whatnot, and they patrol certain realms and whatnot, and sometimes they step out of their bounds. And you can go witnessing some places, and you have an absolute right to pass out tracts and do whatever. And they'll come to you and they'll say, you cannot witness. You cannot witness in this place. And you can say, yes, I can. Yes, I can. And they'll say, no, you can't. Now, if you're intimidated, you won't witness. But there have been times where we knew our rights, where we'd have to say, I'm sorry, sir, we can witness, and we will witness. Thank you. We appreciate you for your position, and we honor you for all of that, but we will witness. And we stand steadfast in the faith. And he's defeated. He's defeated. The devil's defeated by faith. Now, that would never be true if he was some powerful beast that somehow you had to outwit and fight. You don't have to outwit him and fight him. Stand steadfast in the faith. Eat on the tree of life, not knowledge of good and evil. And he's defeated instantly. He's defeated as soon as you believe he's defeated. I mean, that's how defeated he is. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, and they're still walking with God. They're making it. You'll make it too. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, yes, it'll put you through it, you'll endure some things, you will suffer, but that God of all grace will make you, and notice grace, will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Because he's won the battle, the victory is complete. Satan is a defeated foe, and all he's got is a lie. And whatever you see in God is yours. Call his bluff, brethren. Call his bluff. Believe the truth, and you're free.